Welcome to another family Bible study. Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God to discover truth. How wonderful it is that we have the Bible. Now, one of the problems of the Bible, and I've emphasized this again and again because it is so true, is that it is very difficult to understand. There are passages that appear to be very simple, very easy to understand. We think, oh, well, that's a piece of cake. I can easy read that. I still remember theologians used to use the word, the Bible is perspicuous. The idea is that it is a word that God has written so we can understand it, just like that. And the fact is, that is not true. That is not true. God has written the Bible so that we have to compare Scripture with Scripture very, very patiently, and read every word very carefully, because otherwise we can very readily get the wrong understanding. This is the reason that we have so many denominations throughout the New Testament era. Each denomination has done its own study in the Word, an incomplete study, and arrived at a conclusion. And then another denomination, looking at the same subject, looks at some other verses and comes to a different conclusion. Both think they have the Word of God. But that can't be, of course, because if we truly have truth, there can only be one truth. That truth has to be exactly what God is teaching. Therefore, when we read the Bible, we have to look at it very, very carefully. And this is difficult. This is difficult. I have to admit, when I'm doing these studies, I look at a verse, and I look at a verse, and I look at a verse, and a week later, I look at the same verse, and a week later, I look at the same verse, and what is God saying? Why did He say it this way? And at the same time praying, Oh Lord, could it be that I might have some understanding? Because after all, finally, it is God the Holy Spirit who has to lead us into truth. And it would be very simple, very, very simple to dodge these difficult verses. Just go past them and go on to the next verse that is a little bit easier. But the fact is, that difficult verse or that difficult passage is part of God's Word. It has to be looked at. And now we should never hesitate to admit finally, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Finally, I have to admit I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. Let's go on to the next verse, and maybe later on I'll understand. We should never hesitate to be very humble before the Word of God. Well, we're in some language here in Jeremiah chapter 4 that we can read very casually, and we can say, well, I can see what God is saying here. That's pretty easy. He's still talking about His judgment upon Judah, His judgment upon Israel. And we know already that these passages are dealing finally with the New Testament church age. And so it's pretty easy to understand. But when we start reading the language word by word, And seeing how those words are used elsewhere in the Bible, then we begin to find it isn't quite that simple. Well, we've come down to verse 14 of Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. And here we have a verse that is pretty easy to understand. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shalt thy vain, and the word vain would be better translated, thy wicked thoughts lodge within thee. This is a plea that God makes throughout the Bible for people to become saved. Of course, in the context, it isn't that simple, because in the context, we've been looking at Jeremiah 4, and God has been telling us that this is speaking about the time when His judgment is already on the churches and congregations. It's already there. And this is going to eventually transition into the final judgment. And so is He saying, churches, you still have a possibility changing this order of events? Is it possible that God is saying, yes, yes, you've come to this, but yet I'm willing to back up and start all over again. I'm willing to take the judgment off if only you would repent. Is that possible? The answer is no, that is not possible. That would be an incorrect assumption or conclusion, because God has so clearly outlined his plan in the Word of God that there will come that time when the end of the church age is here, and that will be followed by the latter rain, or first of all, a time of great tribulation, and then the latter rain, and that will be followed by Judgment Day. And we have to keep that master plan in mind as we look at these verses. So what is he saying here? Who is this Jerusalem? Is he talking about the churches and congregations? Yes, he is, but eventually, God is not talking about an organization. He's not talking about the First Baptist Church or the Second Reformed Church or the Zion Lutheran Church. He is talking about people who make up those churches. And in those churches, we have learned and repeated this again and again, and it doesn't hurt at all to repeat it one more time. In Galatians 4, we learned in verse 25 and 26 that within those churches, there are two kinds of people. There is Jerusalem above, they are the ones who are true believers, and there is Jerusalem which is now. That is, and God indicates they are still in bondage, that is, they are still unsaved. And so when he is talking about Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, who is he talking to? He's not talking to those who are Jerusalem above, because they are already saved. They don't have to have their sins washed away. They've all been washed away. But you see, the problem is that as we are looking at the end of the church age, the churches are filled with those who identify with Jerusalem, which is now. Let me just read those verses again in Galatians 4. They're so important. They're a key to a whole lot of understanding of this, what is going on in our day. And we really want to be intimately acquainted with these verses. We read in verse 26, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Well, now, if it's a Jerusalem above, it's a Jerusalem identified with heaven. When we become saved, we are identified with heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. The true believers are Jerusalem above. But in verse 25, he speaks about Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. And they are the ones who are still in, who claim to be believers, but they're in bondage in the sense that they are trying what ancient Israel did, and that was to become saved by keeping the law, by somehow being good enough. And of course, we've known again and again, the Bible teaches again and again, we can't be good enough because every sin has to be paid for. That's our need, is to have a Savior. We have to depend entirely upon God to make us the Jerusalem above, and not in our desire to keep the law and be good enough, then God will save us. Well, now in going back to Jeremiah 4, verse 14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness. Here is God speaking to the churches and congregations that are under the judgment of God. And he is saying to them, why don't you become saved? You have to become saved. You have to have your sins washed away. Well, how are they going to do that? They are confident we're already saved. Didn't we make confession of faith? Wasn't I baptized as an infant or at some later time? Am I not a member in full communion? Well, the fact is that I'm still in the churches, and the churches are under the wrath of God, and Christ has left the church. So What am I doing there? God has commanded me to come out. He has said, if you are in Babylon, flee from Babylon, lest you be partaker in its judgment and partaker in its sins. And the fact that they're still there means that God can make a warning to them. You've got to become saved, because if you become saved, then if you were, let me say it the other way, if you were truly saved, then as you were reading the Bible and reading the Bible, you would discover that you're not right with God, that you are not saved as you thought you were, and you would still be crying to God for mercy. And now, where can you become saved? Not in the church any longer, because the Holy Spirit isn't operating there. The only way you can become saved is by getting out of the church. It is outside of the church that a great multitude which no man can number are being saved. And you see, as I say these things, it brings again to my mind the terrible thing that the Bible is not the authority. In churches and congregations, I'm going to say this, the Bible is not the authority. The church doctrines are the authority. I read missionary stories, for example, and wonderful people who devoted their life, they gave their life, they died on the mission field because of disease or whatever. But seldom do I ever read that they really studied the Bible. They went there with whatever doctrines had been given them by the mission organization or the church that sent them out. If they were Baptists, they brought Baptist doctrine. If they were Reformed, they brought Reformed doctrine, and so on. But that was it. And they had no knowledge of what a superlatively rich book the Bible is. It is just dripping. It is filled with wonder, because it is a record of the wisdom of God. It has all kinds of information. But the pastors and the theologians are not interested in the Bible. They're interested in what our church taught. What theologians of the past had concluded, they've set it forth in confessions or in other statements of faith. We Baptists believe, we Methodists believe, we Episcopalians believe, or whatever it is, and that is where we stand. The Bible has been relegated to the shelf. We don't really need that anymore. We have it clearly enunciated, clearly set forth what we are to believe, and we don't really need the Bible that badly. Oh yes, we read the Bible, of course, and we do find the verses that the theologians of the past have used in order to come up with whatever doctrines we as Episcopalians hold or we as Methodists hold. We can find those and we talk about those. But all these other books, you know, Jeremiah and Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and all these other books, we don't really pay very much attention to that. As a matter of fact, you and I both know that throughout the church age, there have been whole denominations that are really saying, well, the Old Testament, that was for the Jews. The New Testament, that's for the New Testament age. And so that's all we really care about is the New Testament. They effectively are denying most of the Bible, because the Old Testament makes up most of the Bible. And yet it too is the Word of God. Well, okay, we see therefore that there's a crying need in the churches. You have to become saved. You have to become saved. Now, this verse isn't going to tell you where you're going to become saved. He is only saying you're still not saved. You're still in Jerusalem. You're still in, and that has to be the Jerusalem which is now. If there's anybody who is truly saved, if they really begin to compare Scripture with Scripture, and they will have that earnest desire, it has to be there, because they have been given a brand new resurrected soul in which they never want to sin again. They are trembling at the word of God. That's the nature of a child of God. And as they begin to ponder these things and search them out, it won't be long. And they know, I've got to get out. I can't be here anymore if they haven't already been driven out. This is just the way the gospel works. This is just the way the gospel works. And we can say these things very emphatically, very dogmatically, simply because God teaches what salvation is. Salvation is not an iffy, maybe kind of a thing. It's a very real experience in the life of the one who has become saved. He's got a brand new resurrected soul. And it's an absolute certainty that in his new resurrected soul, he wants to do the will of God. That's the nature of the new resurrected soul. It means that he has a delight in the Word of God. And if somebody is saying, I have found thus and so in the Word of God, I want to know what it is. I want to look at that also. I want to see if that impacts my life in some way. That is the nature of a child of God. And if we can just set that aside, no, I am content where I am. I know I'm saved. Don't disturb me. I don't want to really look at those. What they're really saying is they have no want to. There's no want to truly do God's will. Their want to is to trust in what their church has taught them. Now, they will never admit that their trust is in the church, but that is the fact. That's why they remain there. That's why they feel secure there. But here God is still coming to those within the churches, and he is saying, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. And it's like you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It must mean, it's the same as saying, you must repent of your sins. And the fact is, we know that the time has come where they're not going to get saved there by remaining in the church. That's an impossibility. The Holy Spirit is no longer there restraining Satan, and that is an impossibility. So they, first of all, have to get out. They have to get out of the church and can then begin to read the Bible. Because if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and maybe God in his mercy will save them. And so it's a plea that God is making. And later on, we're going to see that God has no pleasure in what is going on, no pleasure at all. We'll come to that in this passage after a bit. We've been looking at Jeremiah 4, and it gets a little bit frightening. A lot of Jeremiah is very frightening, and we ought to be frightened because we are in the presence of Almighty God. Every time we open the Bible, it is God speaking to us, and it's wonderful to read about the love of God and his wonderful salvation. But before we can understand salvation, we have to know the seriousness of the wrath of God. And when we read these passages or peruse these passages like we are looking at in Jeremiah 4, sometimes we become very frightened. They're very serious passages. And unfortunately, we can't just keep working on this because our time is out. But in our next study, we'll continue to think out and study what God has to say about this very, very important and serious information.